Not only are you invited to join me this hour, but you had better pay attention this time. No more goofing off. I have every intention of helping you, and you had better learn something today, okay? You got that? All right. One day this week, a woman calls me on the phone, and she says, I'm very dizzy. And if you've ever been very dizzy, and you feel like every time you stand up or you try to walk from the bedroom to the bathroom at night, you run into the walls or you can't, that is just a bad feeling. I mean, you almost feel sick. And, you know, there's a lot of other symptoms that go along with it, but I wouldn't wish just severe dizziness or vertigo on anyone. So I couldn't see her that day just because I had a full plate, but she came in the next day. And so as I began to examine her, I'm going, okay, where's this coming from? And so I tried to go through all my protocols from, is this coming from the sinuses? Is it the nose? Does she have an infection of some kind? Well, I couldn't determine that. But every time I examined the left eustachian tube in the left ear, I'm going, all right, that's where it's coming from. And when I looked at the first cervical vertebra, where the skull joins that condyle, I thought, well, that's stuck. Let's just release that so it can start to drain. So I did that, and she probably looked at me like I was crazy. But you know what? It's my job to help my fellow man. I just always want to do what's best for him. And so in this process, I said, okay. All right. I set her up. I said, are you still dizzy? She said, yes. So what I did was I laid her back down, and I just really extended the headpiece as far as I could where I could lean her head back really, really far, almost getting her head upside down. And so when I'd go to the right side, it didn't make her dizzy, but when I'd go to the extend and rotate to the left, her head, it would cause dizziness. And I said, well, ma'am, you've got rocks in your ears. I think she turned to her husband and said, yeah, I told you I had rocks in my head, but anyway, what I'm getting to, you got these canals in your ear that are circular, and you can actually develop small bits of calcium. And these calcium, you know, they look like small microscopic rocks. But what they do is they roll into that canal where you have these hair-like projections, and when they fold them over, you couldn't tell which way is up or down or left or right if you wanted to. It just completely disorients you. And so I tried my technique, which is to gently tap on her head, seeing if I get those rocks to roll out, and I'm going, okay, did we get them? So we looked at a video on YouTube, which I think YouTube is fabulous because it's got information at your fingertips. You know how the Bible says, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge? So all you need sometimes is just a person to point you in the right direction. In her case, that was me shoving her in that direction. So we looked at this video that showed a technique of a half somersault. It's easy to do. And I said, you're going to go home and do this. She said, I'll do it. Of course, I already know her anyway. She's going to do anything that she can to help herself. She's just that type of person. Actually, she's a beautiful human being. I'm crazy about her. I like her husband a lot, too. And so she walked out the door. I didn't hear from her. And the next day, I said, you know, I've got to call and check on her. But I didn't get a hold of her, so I left a message. But the next morning, I was walking across the parking lot of Walmart. And my habit is, I just like to park all the way out and just walk it in. I just figured, hey, breathe a little bit more oxygen. Move a little bit more. It's good for you. And so all of a sudden, this red Corvette comes tearing through the parking lot doing Mach 3, which I'm not even sure if my senses could really, I don't even know. It was going somewhere between 200 and 300 miles an hour, probably. That's just a rough estimate. Maybe not. But it seemed that way. And I see this person grinning and laughing in the car. I thought, that face looks very familiar. And I kind of walked across, and when I walked in the front door, I go, oh, it was her. Evidently, she's doing pretty good now if she can drive Mach 3 across the parking lot of Walmart. I don't know if her husband knew that, but he just found out anyway. But there is a technique. Hey, don't. You can go to the hospital anytime you want when you're dizzy, and you can have the Epley procedure. But you already know how I'm wired. If you can fix this on your own at home for less than $3,500, I think I would do that. the results are going to be even better if you ask me. It's called the half somersault. You can look it up for yourself on YouTube. Point number two. I don't know if this answers a question from a previous caller from 2 weeks ago, but let me have a go at this, just very gently. I don't know if many of you know where I'm located here in Jacksonville, but I have a neighbor. They're very, very nice. Actually, how can I reword this? Let me say it this way. Scratch that last thought. I have the unique opportunity when I can to look out my front door or my window, and I see more people than I've ever seen in my life visit one particular store. And what I think that they're buying is they're buying these little bitty ornamental glass pipes. And these ornamental glass pipes, I'm thinking they're made from glass. I don't really think they are, but I don't think they're used for smoking tobacco. I think they're used for smoking something else. Anyway, scratch that topic. There is a substance that has the initials CBD. CBD is just an abbreviation for cannabinoids. What do you have? Two plants in nature. One's called cannabis. That'd be marijuana. The other's called hemp. I could be wrong, but maybe one is the female version and one is the male version. Just like with birds and bees, you've got the male and the female. Anyway, let me read this to you from Alan Frankel, MD. And just think about this. And so the only reason I'm bringing this up is, why are all these people going after these glass pipes? Well, I don't think it takes a brain surgeon to figure that one out. They are suffering. They do not feel good. They do not feel alive. They are stressed, and they're looking for relief. And so how do you say this? If I had, to my right, a medical clinic where people could go in and say, I'm stressed, can I have some Xanax? I'm depressed, can I have some Zoloft? I can't sleep at night, can I have Ambien? I can't relax and calm down, can I have some Ativan or some Valium? You know, you just fill in the blank. But what am I supposed to think when all these people are going next door to get these glass pipes where they can smoke marijuana? Well, if you do not like the way that you feel, and you don't like what's going on the inside of your body, what are you going to turn to? And so I'm seeing people just, this is only me just being observant. I think that has value, being observant. I bet you anything, you are a very observant person. You can make observations. And so I see all sorts of people from young to old in droves going into this place to buy these glass pipes and CBD oil. Well, what are they doing? Are they self-medicating? You bet they are. Are they trying to end their pain and suffering? Well, of course they are. And you already know this world is about pain and suffering. Of course, ultimately, God is the only one, or Jesus is going to fill that longing in your heart. That is the only thing that will give you the fulfillment that you long for. Anyway, let me read this to you right here. This comes from Neuroscience, the Study and Application of Cannabis Medicine. Just take this with a grain of salt. I am not telling you what to do, but I'm going to quote Dr. Frankel here. To me, this is intriguing. As a neuroprotectant, I don't know if you've ever heard that term before, neuroprotectant, but what that means is it protects your nerves and your brain tissue and your neurons from damage, okay? Start over. As a neuroprotectant, CBD, which I told you earlier stands for cannabinoids, it's being used by the Israeli Defense Forces to limit neurological damage following head trauma. Did you get that? You get knocked in the head, and the doctor says, we're going to give you some CBD oil. All right. It is also effective in limiting damage following vascular events, such as a stroke and a myocardial infarction. Did you get that? Do you think we have a fair amount of heart disease here in the United States and a fair amount of strokes? Oh, my word. What are you talking about? I wonder how many people show up to the ER in Tyler every day, or Palestine, or the ER in Jacksonville, or the emergency room in CUNY, or Reese. I wonder how many people show up in the ER in CUNY complaining of a stroke or heart attack. Probably a large number. It's also effective in limiting the damage following vascular events such as a stroke and a myocardial infarction, and in the treatment of neurodegenerative diseases. And you're probably saying to yourself, well, Dr. Morgan, what do you mean neurodegenerative? Well, do you like the idea that your brain is degenerating? Well, no, you don't. Well, what are those diseases? That's called Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and dementia. What if you had a loved one or a relative that had dementia, and they say, we have done $40 million worth of testing on your mother with dementia, and we've determined she needs to take a drug. It only comes from the pharmaceutical industry, ma'am, and it's going to cost you $1,000 a month, and we're not sure if it will help. Well, that is just borderline ridiculous, and I hear that just about every other day. What if we actually do something that's going to make a difference? But it's CBD. You can't patent that. It's found in nature. So I just told you that according to the study, it's a neuroprotectant, and it's used successfully in the treatment of neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's and dementia. It says since CBD is essentially non-psychoactive, therapies can be administered at higher doses without motor impairment or toxicity that may be associated with a higher dose of THC, which that is probably the slightly hallucinogenic chemical that's going to come from marijuana. I am not promoting that. To me, it would be so fascinating. I like comparisons. Anyway, I was going to be negative, but I'm going to read a quote to you. This is going to be positive. There was a very, very famous man that is credited with this quote. His name was Socrates. I didn't say I agreed with everything that Socrates did or said, but I want to read what he said. I just want you to consider this. This is the quote from Socrates, which, would that be 2,000 years ago plus? Okay, here it goes. It is a disgrace to grow old through sheer carelessness before seeing what manner of human you may become by developing the bodily strength and beauty to their highest limit. But you cannot see that if you are careless, for it will not come of its own accord. I just think that's fabulous. You know what? What type of man or woman are you going to become if you just throw caution to the wind and anything goes? If you have no plan for taking care of your knees or your joints or your hips, how are they going to last if you live to be 100? That's probably the simplest thing that I could start off with. How are your joints going to live and serve you for 100 years if they are completely destroyed by the time you're 45 or 50? You're probably thinking to yourself, well, Dr. Morgan, you don't really know anything about this topic because you don't see people with knees that are shot when they're 45 or 50. If only that were true. So what's your plan? Do you feel like that you can be of great service? You do. Well, do you need your body to help serve you with your health so you can carry the gospel to others, so you can bring a thirsty person a cup of water or deliver a meal to a shut-in? How often do you hear of somebody being sick? And for all I know, they're all alone. They don't have anybody to take care of them. They don't have a wife. They don't have children. They're just all alone. So when those people get the flu and they're in bed for 3 days, that's probably as close to a near-death experience as they're going to have, and they're probably thinking, I'm going to have to die to get better. But what if you're that person from church or the next-door neighbor that takes them a meal or maybe a glass of homemade lemonade When I say lemonade, I'm not referring to the kind with high fructose corn syrup. We might take a little bit of monk fruit and make it. Okay. If you want to join me on the radio, 903-586-5257. All right. Good morning to the program. I've got my pen ready. I'm ready to take notes.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You're sure welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. I enjoy listening to you on Saturday morning so much.
Hang on just a second. I'm writing my first note. Very smart lady calling, first caller. Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I've been having some hip and foot pain for about 6 months, and it's been pretty severe. I can't do long distances, you know, grocery shopping. I have to use a little scooter or a wheelchair if I want to go to an event, and I'm fairly young, and
fairly young?
Well, 53.
You're like a young spring chicken. I love it.
Yeah, I feel young, and I'm in good shape, and I eat right, so it's been very bothersome, and I've been to three orthopedic doctors and a podiatrist and a few chiropractors. And
so you've been to maybe five different doctors so they could have a go at all this?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, what is their assessment?
Well, I had an MRI this week, and it doesn't look like there's anything in the MRI. And
well, isn't that good news?
Yes, very good news. I haven't had it read. I've just looked at the report. But my pain is really in my right hip.
Yeah, but you know what this tells me so far? They don't have any clue what's going on, so they're having to resort to an MRI, just hoping they find a catastrophic failure of a joint where they can go, aha, now we know why you have pain, because your joint's gone.
Right.
Can you tell I'm starting to get worked up already?
Yes, well, I'm glad. That's what I was counting on.
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm already. You got my attention. So, what is their plan?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to have an EMG test.
Why? Why? What's the purpose of an EMG test?
I don't know.
Well, I know what the purpose is. So they can build it. Never mind. Let's go on to something more helpful here. So, what do you want to see happen?
Well, I have this pain, this clicking in my hip, that it feels like there's a tendon or a nerve that, like if I try to lift my knee up, say, to march on the right side, my leg doesn't go up that far. And if I...
You know what that means? That means your hip flexor is only operating on one cylinder instead of eight cylinders. The muscle is not firing. It is not doing its job. So I've already figured your problem out for you. You've got a weak hip flexor.
Oh, because it, like, clicks. Like, if I try to get out of bed,
it's going to.
My leg up or get dressed.
Here, let me imitate it for you, okay?
Okay.
You know how I did that?
You can hear it.
I rubbed my middle finger across my thumb. And so when your muscles are weak, your tendons snap and drag across each other, and they make a clicking sound. Mm-hmm. The only way to fix this is to restore the firing of the nervous system to the muscle, where we can regain its strength. Let's do it a different way. If you're standing up right now, all I want you to do is I want you to stand on one leg. Let's stand on your left one. Now what you're going to do is you're going to keep your eyes closed while you talk with me on the phone for 30 seconds. If you can maintain perfect balance, then you're awesome. That's perfect. But if you have to continually touch your foot to the ground to steady yourself or to maintain your balance, that means you do not have good neurological integration from your brain down to those muscles. You just don't.
I'm standing on my left foot, and I'm doing okay.
Now stand on the right one. Close your eyes.
I didn't close my eyes.
Well, that's... that's yeah, well, are you kidding? I'm not going to be easy on you today. I'm going to be hard on you. So if you close your eyes, you're completely depending on the brain to send enough neurological signals all the way down to your foot to maintain your position in gravity. So is it super easy for you to stand on your right leg?
It's not easy, but it's not real hard. I'm moving around a little bit, but I'm able to do it.
But you're not touching the floor with your left foot to steady yourself.
I was standing on the left foot. Should I step on the...
Yeah, stand. But did you say it's your right hip that clicks and hurts?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, that's what I meant. So if you stand on your right leg, Your foot's
flat
on the
ground. Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Okay, well, all right, bingo. We're in business. All these things are functional issues, not structural issues. I just don't even like the idea of spending money on EMG. And I'm not saying because you're not worth it, because you are. You're worth everything. But this is called a diversion. We're trying to find something that they can conceptually understand. That's why I like reading the books from older doctors, because they actually use their brains and their wits to figure things out. And so, if you have pain, okay. Where is the pain in the hip? Is it back there by your tailbone on the backside, or is it on the side of your leg, where your femur joins that ball and socket joint of your pelvis?
Well, it's clicking in the front.
That's your
and
hip?
Then the pain goes down my groin into the left side of my knee. Very sore. My knee will swell, and it goes down. My foot just doesn't land right. If I try to walk, I get a swelling in my ankle. It's just not working, this whole right leg. pain on the back of
Are
my
you a
ankle.
Little bit overweight?
No, I'm not at all. Mm-mm.
So you're like very lean, athletic looking?
No, but I'm... just in the middle.
You're in the middle? Okay. That means you're nearly perfect, right?
In God's eyes.
Well, here's what we have to do. Number one, this is a functional problem.
Okay.
Any time, and your chiropractor's probably told you this, and so did the three orthopedists and the podiatrist. This is a functional problem. That means something is not working right, and that's the only hope for you. What do we do to restore normal function? It's really as simple as that. But if a person doesn't understand this very simple thought, then they're going to direct you toward $37 billion worth of tests that may yield normalcy. So if you have clicking in the front of your hip, kind of in the crease right there, when you lift your leg, the crease of the hip,
right?
That's probably a hip flexor problem. And when the muscles become weak, actually, let me start over. If the muscle becomes shortened or tight, it becomes weaker every single time, and then it can no longer hold your body. It can't do its normal work. The hip flexor sometimes is called the psoas muscle, or maybe the iliacus and the psoas. So together, I'll make up a new word called the ilio-psoas muscle. But that muscle, when it fails to fire properly, it cannot hold the pelvis and the hips in alignment.
And so my right leg is short. It's a quarter inch short.
That's cool. Yes, absolutely. That's what happens when the muscle is weak. Now, if this goes on, it's going to create another problem. You're going to eventually develop what's called reflux and heartburn, because you're going to develop a hiatal hernia. Because when those muscles become weak, your stomach always starts to push upward toward the diaphragm, and there's an opening in the diaphragm called the hiatus. And so eventually, if this keeps going, you're going to develop another problem. You're going to develop acid reflux and heartburn.
No,
has that happened yet?
No, it hasn't.
Okay. Well, I vote that we fix this problem. So if you went to a chiropractor, they should very easily be able to lay you on the table and then have you extend your leg, raise it up at about 45 degrees, turn your foot out, and they should put one hand on the opposite front of the pelvis and one around your ankle and push on that muscle to see if it has strength or if it doesn't. And if it doesn't have strength, bingo, we're in business. We have just identified that your hip flexor is too weak to do its job. And so I'm going to propose to you, if we find a muscle that's very weak, here's what you do. You dig your fingers in the muscle and you spread it apart. That's called resetting the Golgi tendon organs or the muscle spindles. If you do that and the muscle becomes strong all of a sudden, then you tell the person, here's what you do. Let's start stretching the hip flexors, hip stretching, and start doing exercises to strengthen your hip flexor. Actually, what you could do is you could just write it down right now. Dr. Morgan on Health Essentials says go to YouTube. Type in hip flexor testing. Hip flexor stretches, hip flexor strengthening exercises. And if you do that, you might go, he's told me more in 30 seconds than what my five doctors have told me. I'm not really saying that to be arrogant or to brag, but this is just maddening, because you've been to five different doctors and they've all had a go at you. And so Has anybody told you that you have a weak hip flexor and that's why it's clicking and popping?
No, but when I told the chiropractor a couple of weeks ago that, you know, I noticed, like, I can't do stairs because I can't march. My left knee goes up, but my right knee just doesn't.
Exactly.
So he had me lay down on my back, and he put his fist between my knees and had me press, and then had me, like, lift my legs up. And he did a little tapping on the right side in there, and I felt a little relief. My knee went up maybe an inch.
Well, what did he tap on?
I don't know. Inside.
Was it like
area.
In the pelvis area?
Yes.
Well, and that's where that hip flexor runs through. I mean, you can look all this up. And that's one thing that could happen is when you tap on that muscle that's not firing properly, it can momentarily start firing better, almost like, okay, my engine's misfiring, but now it's running smoothly. But that's just momentarily. And so if you tap on a muscle or push on a muscle and it momentarily feels better, the pain goes away, I think that's also diagnostic, which means he's right on the money. But then he's supposed to say, this is your plan of attack right here for restoring that muscle. That's really all you've got. If you restore function, then you can become pain-free. I just don't see this any other way.
So I should look up exercises to stretch my hip flexor.
Yes, okay. Look up exercises, and you can say this way. You could get on YouTube and type in, how do I know if my hip flexor is the cause of my popping, painful hip?
Okay.
I sort of made that up, but that's relevant, isn't it? And then you can type in, what do I do to strengthen my hip flexor if it's weak? How do I stretch my hip flexor?
He told me to raise my right knee up in the air, but then it clicked so hard for three or four days, it was just burning.
Oh, I'm totally sympathetic to you. I am sympathetic. What would it be like if I raised my leg and my hip and it burned and hurt? I would go, oh my goodness, well, this is not a whole lot of fun. But you got to have a plan here.
But if that's not the exercise, then it's...
No. And I know you don't know what I'm just throwing a whole bunch of stuff at you, so thanks for being merciful to me. But I want to get you moving in the right direction, because guess what? It ain't going to fix itself by sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
And you know that. So we first have to identify what is exactly the primary cause of the problem. I had a woman in my office yesterday, and she said, I'm exhausted all the time, Dr. Morgan. I don't feel good. I have to just force myself to get up. I never have any energy. My sleep is horrible. I need energy. Anyway, so I examined her, and I said, this is your problem right here. Your body is producing way too much adrenaline, way too much cortisol. And I found out that she was highly reactive or allergic to a substance called aspartame. And then I turned to her and I said, is there any chance that you're chewing sugar-free gum? She says, no, I wouldn't chew that stuff. It's toxic. And I said, well, do you have any sugar-free candy with aspartame? She says, no. This stuff tastes gross. I said, what about Diet Dr. Pepper? She said, uh-oh, that's all I drink all day long. I said, bingo, now we're in business. So all I'm trying to do is just float an idea that we've got to find out what is preventing you from healing. And the hip flexors are always going to be related to kidney function and adrenal function. That's just what I think of. So there's got to be some glitch in here. And I know this is the radio. I cannot stick my hand through the microphone. See, right now I'm trying to make it fit. Here goes. It won't fit.
Well, maybe I'll come by and see you. I'll call your office.
If you do these things, I'm telling you, and you become very pleased, like, finally, I am on the right track. But we've got to retrain that muscle to work right. And we've got to retrain that muscle not to cause pain. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
If you'll do all these things, let me know what happens.
Okay, I will. I appreciate it.
And have your husband massage that hip.
Okay.
He's got nothing better to do anyway, right?
That's right.
I know. See, I knew I was right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open. The number is 903-586-5257. I know you have a question you want to ask me, so you might as well call me right now and we'll tackle that. I just couldn't get the button pushed. I did, though. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, good morning.
How are you?
Well, I'm 78, 6 foot, 175 pounds.
You're a commando.
BMI of 24. Excellent health, except for two things. One, excessive urination at night. I'm sure you have heard that to ad nauseum.
Maybe once.
And ED. What can I do to help?
I didn't catch your age. What did you say it was?
78.
78. Okay. Are you pretty open-minded?
Absolutely.
Okay. If you were to go onto YouTube and type in Kegel exercises for men, they may come up with five videos. And in these videos, they usually will show a computer animation of how to do Kegel exercises properly. And what I don't want you to tell me is, I don't want you to tell me that you already know how to do that and you've done that. Don't tell me that.
All right, I won't tell you that.
What I want you to do is, I want you to keep an open mind, and I want you to go through all the self-tests that they recommend on how you contract this, and how you squeeze that, and how long you hold the contractions, and how many times you do it until you get fatigued. And I want you to keep an open mind that maybe you don't know exactly how to do Kegels the way that you should do them. Now, the reason I'm saying that is, if you do these tests and you feel like, you know what, I don't think that I did that so well, just consider that you do not have enough neurological flow or nerve energy going to that male part of the anatomy. And so I just want you to keep an open mind. But if you cannot do these exercises as easily and efficiently as what they demonstrate, just be open-minded that there's tremendous room for improvement. Just like if you had a very weak bicep muscle in your arm and you said, this is horrible. I can't even lift a can of soup off the table. I'm too weak. Or in your case, I can't lift a towel off the table. Don't even think about that. But if you can't lift a can of soup, if you keep trying, your body is designed to adapt, even at the age 78. You know what I wrote down the first time? I wrote down 38. I missed it by 40 years.
Well, I feel that way sometimes.
Well, but you're 78 and you want to improve yourself and you want to take good care of yourself. So way to go, man. You're doing great. But if you will try a wide variety of Kegel exercises, we might be in business 3 to 4 weeks from now. Now, I totally botched this the other day in my office because I told a woman who was in her 80s, she says, I cannot hold my urine at night. It's over and over. And of course, that's a form of misery, is having to get up every hour to urinate. How can you get in that deep delta wave sleep? It's impossible. And she came in and she gave me a piece of her mind. This is what she told me. She said, Dr. Morgan, you told me that I would be a different person in 3 weeks and you totally lied to me. That wasn't true. I said, okay, I'm sorry. Where did I get it wrong? She said, it took 5 weeks of effort to get the results. I'm going, okay, so I missed it by 2 weeks. Could you please forgive me? And we just kind of laughed about that. So sometimes the point is you just keep doing it until you get the desired result. But I promise you I'm right about this. Everything in you is going to change. Your fortunes are going to turn if you can improve this right here. Then point number two. You have what are called pelvic floor muscles. Have you ever heard that term, pelvic floor? Did you say that? Okay. If you were laying right here on top of the radio control board, I would test the strength of your pelvic floor muscles. And what do you think that I would tell you if I found that your pelvic floor muscles were very weak? I'd say, let's get them strong, young man. Get those muscles strong. And so the two exercises that I probably think of, do you know what lunges are?
Yes.
Are those easy for you to do?
Yes.
Could you actually do lunges on the way to church tomorrow morning?
Not church, but on the way to work.
On the way to work? You're going to be at work tomorrow morning?
Not tomorrow morning, no.
How far is it from your home to work?
15 miles.
That should be very easy for you to lunge all the way to work on foot.
Yeah, send the ambulance.
What name of the county road do I send it to pick you up within 100 yards?
Yeah.
Okay, but if you strengthen the pelvic floor muscles, it's going to be hard to beat what are called sumo squats. just using your body weight and doing lunges.
What's the difference between sumo squats and regular squats?
Your legs are spread out like a sumo wrestler. But in your case, well, here's what I'm going to recommend, and I don't want you to laugh at me. I'm being totally serious. I need you to ditch your current boxer underwear. Don't wear those ever again.
No, I don't wear them.
Good. Well, that's good to know. That makes me feel better as a person, just knowing that information. But number two, do you know that loincloth that sumo wrestlers wear?
Yes.
I need you to start wearing that to work every single day. That will completely change your perspective on sumo squats. They have those on sale on an aisle in Target currently. It's called the sumo
aisle. Are you serious, or?
I'm joking totally.
I'm not going to say.
You mean you haven't been down that aisle where they sell the sumo towel that they wrap around? Anyway, that's... Okay, I think I'm going off on a track that's probably not really related to health, so we'll get back to health here. But a sumo squat, all you got to do is just look it up. You can go on YouTube, demonstration of a sumo squat, and just tell me if those are easy for you to do. But what we've got to do is we've got to radically increase blood flow and increase nerve energy to the pelvic area of a man. And so let's just call it for what it is. And so if you do those things, not only will that help generate more human growth hormone, which is what you need, the last time I checked, the number one thing that generates more testosterone for a man is physical work. And you're already built like a commando. You're 6 foot tall, 175. You're awesome. You're 78 and you're going to work. You're my hero. I want to be just like you.
Well, I'm not going to wear my underwear on the outside and be a hero, but...
No, the sumo wrap goes on the inside, and you cover it with your kilt, since you're Scottish.
Okay, the Kegel exercises and the lunges and sumo squats.
That's it. But you got to keep an open mind. I want you to look at 4, 5, or 6 videos. Maybe you can go online and look for different variations of Kegels, because there's a lot of them. But I'm telling you, if you will, you notice I'm not describing everything to you perfectly, all the different variations of Kegels, but I can tell you right now, you're going to completely fail at the Kegels. You will be a complete failure. You're going to fail. But when you fail, you're going to say, oh, I've got room for improvement. Well, maybe I'm going to set my mind to doing these Kegel exercises like Dr. Morgan's telling me. And I'm going to teach him a lesson. I'm going to show him I can do this to 100 count. Or I can hold this for 20 seconds. Or I can lift the towel. Just do it. But you're going to completely fail. But in your failure, you're going to say, I think I just learned something. I think I've learned that I can do better. And I'm going to set my mind to doing this. Remember, God has designed the body to adapt and to become stronger and to heal, if it's given the right circumstances. So give them a shot and see if you fail. If you do, I'm going to celebrate with you. Okay, we learned something. You failed. Now we can get better. How many push-ups can you do right now?
Oh, probably 40.
That is spectacular. There's no other man that's going to call and say, I can do 40 push-ups today. Not one. I mean, you are a specimen. 40 push-ups. That's outrageously strong. And you still work for a living, right?
Right.
Oh, you're spectacular. Can I get, is your name by chance Abraham?
No.
Am I close?
Long way off. Robert.
Robert. Well, that rhymes with Abraham. I'm not really sure how. Robert,
we can massage it.
We can massage it. That's right. So, if you will, practice. I mean, have you been devoted to the Kegel exercises for some time now?
No.
Okay. I've had, I think, 2 comments this week, and both of them were from women, not one from a man. They said, Dr. Morgan, you were so right about the stevia. I said, wait a second, did you just say I was right? Well, usually when somebody says something like that, I run and grab a sheet of paper real quick and say, okay, now you can start talking.
Get it notarized.
Yes, get it notarized. Like, Dr. Morgan, you were right again. That phrase, I don't hear. I've never heard that phrase. But I said, well, how was I right? And she said, I stopped urinating once I cut out the stevia.
I don't touch that stuff.
But usually the body needs alkaline ash minerals. That's where alfalfa comes in. That's maybe where kelp comes in handy. You've got to be able, so it could be also something is causing continual stress upon your kidneys. Just like you're going to agree with me, you cannot function all the way up to age of 100 if all your joints are completely destroyed and arthritic, can you? If the joints wear out before you wear out, that's a problem. Well, the kidneys are the same way. And so what I would do if I were to examine you is I'd say, okay, all this nighttime urination, all this ED, what's behind all of it? Is it because there's too low testosterone and growth hormone? I don't think so if you can do 40 push-ups. I can guarantee you right now, I don't care if I have 10 million listeners, there's not going to be but a handful of men that can do 40 push-ups. I'm not going to tell you how many push-ups I did the other day, but a friend of mine were talking, they said, how many push-ups can we do? But I didn't get to 40 before I started breathing hard and passed out on the floor. But we've got to look at your kidneys. There's something, your kidneys are not supposed to be forming urine all night long when you sleep. You're supposed to be sleeping, and your kidneys are supposed to be taking an 8-hour nap also. They're not supposed to be working overtime at 4 in the morning and 2 o'clock and 3. How many times do you actually go to the bathroom to urinate once you hit the bed?
Oh, it ranges from 4 to 6.
Oh, man, that is, I am completely devoted to you and sympathetic to your cause. If you told me, could we get down to one time a night, maybe one day a week, I'd say, yes, I think I could deal with that. If you only got up once a week to urinate in the middle of the night, I'd say we're in business. But there's something that's not working right in your kidneys, and we have to find out what that is. And so I'm not trying to say the Kegels are it, but you need to try the Kegels because that will increase nerve flow and circulation to the kidneys, but something's irritating them, because by its very nature, when you consume a substance that your body has an allergy to or is toxic, your body forms urine to kick it out as quick as possible.
Would a food blood test?
No. I think they fail miserably. Miserable failure. Now, an allergist will not tell you that. They'll say, well, do all this testing and let's see if we can determine. I just think that for the most part, if you look at the research, very inaccurate. I think there's easier ways. I kind of use a homeopathic challenge test myself that I think is very accurate, but that's only after I've failed over and over in finding how to make it work, but I think I've discovered that now. But the first thing is we have to determine, Are the kidneys the primary root cause of the problem, or does it relate to the pituitary, or does it relate to the adrenal glands, or is this a heart issue or a liver issue? There's got to be something to make sense. Until a doctor looks at you that way, if the only way a doctor examines you is by doing like a lab test and finding out that you're got stage 4 kidney failure, well, I don't even like the idea of that, because they're waiting too late to do something. You could walk barefoot every day for 15 minutes on the grass or the dirt. That always helps improve the kidneys. Why are you urinating all night long? I'm sure you know.
I didn't hear that.
I said, why do you think that you're urinating all night long? What's your gut instinct on this?
I've used the pH paper, and it's just slightly acid. It's close to
It's supposed to be slightly acid from the urine. That would be a normal pH. I would be concerned if you told me that your urine pH was alkaline.
No, it's just slightly acid.
That's normal.
I've cut out dairy products. Nothing I can really think of to point at. I use distilled water. I don't like Tyler water.
Well, I agree on the second part of that. I hate it. I think it tastes horrible. If you see me going out to eat and buying a Pellegrino, water, that's why. Yeah, but your kidneys, I'm just going to ask you one more time to consider something's not working right with your kidneys, because your body's giving us clues the kidneys are stressed out. That's probably what I should have said with. Your kidneys are highly stressed out because they're just ramped, they're spooled up full speed, buddy. They're running 10,000 RPMs all night long. We just have to find out the reason why. And I know you want to do that, so we got to do something. What's our plan going to be to do this? And so if the kidneys are not stressed, then I haven't a clue what I'm talking about today.
Well, that makes sense. It's got to be something.
Well, and would you agree? Well, I know you don't know this, but if you were to study, you know, human anatomy and physiology, which I love those topics. I ran into a patient of mine last night at the bookstore, and she had like a shopping cart full of books. And she said, "Where are you going?" She said, "Well, where are you going?" I said, "Over here to the health department." She goes, "Oh, I get it." Which, you know, I'm just naturally attracted to that stuff. That's just where my bent is. So God made me this way, and that's just what I love and enjoy. So I always go over to where the health books are, and I'm going, "Oh, man, what can I learn new here?" Because learning is life. But if you read about the kidneys, they are not supposed to ideally be forming urine all night long. Oh, no, 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 no. They're not. And so there's got to be somewhere in the urinary tract. So we can go from the adrenals that sit on top of the kidneys, to the ureter, to your bladder, to your prostate, to the urethra. Maybe you've got like a low-grade urinary tract infection. I don't know. But anytime that you got this much urine, your body's trying to kick something out. And I'm just saying, why can't the kidneys have a chance to rest? So there's a lot of ways that we can question this, but you got to pinpoint, is this coming from the prostate totally? I don't know, but there's got to be some way to figure it out. Maybe you should capture your first morning's urine in a quart mason jar and put it in the kitchen window and then see what happens over the course of the day. Maybe there will be some sediment in the bottom of it, and then you can ask, well, where did that come from, and why is it there? Is your urine super clear? Does it have an odor to it? Does your urine get a little foamy or bubbly when you urinate in the toilet?
No, there's just a slight yellowish color, but it's clear. There's no...
Well, I don't know that that's abnormal at all. That doesn't disturb me. But we've got to find out, where is the weak link here in this urinary system? You cannot separate the adrenals and the kidneys and the ureter and the bladder and the prostate and the male genitalia from each other. They all come from the same branch or the same bud. If we studied embryology, it all comes from the same neuromere. So something in that system is not right. So we're left with circulation, the nervous system, but is something, because that's what the kidneys do for a living. Is they are one of the greatest organs of excretion. They're constantly removing impurities and filtering. Have you been to Walmart before and seen a man walking down the aisle in the automotive department that has yellow stains in his armpit?
No, I haven't.
What do you think that yellow is?
Well, the sweat is very close to urine, so probably
yes.
A lot of
you're right.
Helpers or something.
Yeah, you're right. And so there's just not much difference. Urine's more concentrated, obviously, but there's a reason why sweat is yellow, because, you know, your skin is kind of your third kidney. But this can be solved. But just at least I've given you something. Practice the Kegels and see what you come up with. Do every, if there's 25 different self-tests or exercises, do them all and see if you pass them all. If you pass them, I'll say, great, I didn't expect that, but we'll move on to the next thing. But we got to pinpoint where this problem's coming from. Who knows? Maybe
we'll
the
give
kidneys.
Give it a try and see what happens.
That's right. Maybe the kidneys are a lot weaker.
5 weeks.
Well, I'm going to say 3. That way, in 5 weeks, you can say you blew it, Dr. Morgan. It took me 5 weeks instead of 3.
Blame it all on you.
Yes, you should totally. I am 100% responsible for everything going on with you. I'll take full responsibility right now.
Well, I'll have to take some of it. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Doctor.
Thank you so
it.
Much for your phone call.
And, see what happens.
Good deal. I enjoyed talking with you, buddy. You have a great day, man.
You too.
Thank you much.
Bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Man, he sounded like an awesome guy. 78. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I have every intention in being very transparent with you. I mean, there's no reason to sugarcoat anything. And so there's got to be some reason why the kidneys are just spooling up and ramping up to high speed and drawing and filtering the blood at night when they should be sleeping and resting. Your kidneys should be having dreams at 2 in the morning, not making urine. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a question about the butyrate that you mentioned before.
Yeah, that comes from butter.
Right. Well, I cannot eat any dairy products, so is there any other way? Are there places I can find it?
Yeah, all you do is when you walk down the aisle in the store, there's on one side of the aisle, they're going to have Mazola corn oil that has just a bright red, beautiful heart on it to tell you it's heart healthy.
Mm.
That's a bunch of baloney, by the way. Okay. And on the other side of the aisle, they sell what's called coconut oil. And right by the coconut oil, do you know that coconut oil kind of looks like white lard?
Yes, it does.
Cooler. But right beside that, there's going to be a small jar that looks like yellow butter. It's called ghee.
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with that. But isn't that still a dairy product?
Yeah, but there's no dairy proteins in it. They've skimmed them all out, so there's no allergic reaction. So you're going to be good with that.
Oh, okay. I was not aware of that. Since it comes from butter, I thought it's still going to affect me. But, okay, I'm going to have to try that.
And so when you cook green beans and broccoli and sweet potatoes, you're going to put ghee all over them.
Ghee, okay. I will use it as butter.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And you're going to call me and you're going to say, Dr. Morgan, I have a new slogan in the advertising agency. I'm going to say, I can't believe it's not butter.
Okay, I might.
You know what? That sounds good. I think I'm going to call an advertising agency.
Yeah, you might make that $1 million, huh?
That's right. And this will be the first time anyone's ever heard that phrase, I can't believe it's not butter. Man, I'm a genius today.
Yeah, I thought it was sort of a long title for a product.
Well, if I share the millions of dollars with you since you helped me come up with it, is that okay with you?
Yeah, okay. I want to share, though.
Well, tell me, what would be one good thing you would do with your millions of dollars of the share?
Well, I don't think I want that much money. I would not know how to...
I know. Why would I even want that money either? I'm just satisfied with 50 cents.
That's right. That's right. We just need to be satisfied with what we have.
Yeah. So if you go to the store today, I'm talking about the large store where everybody goes to in Jacksonville, just walk down that aisle and take a look at it, because what they do is when they make ghee, they take butter.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to skim off that white stuff at the top, which is the dairy proteins. So I did not say this will be perfect for you. I just think it will be good, because anything that increases your butyric acid levels and your butyrate levels, that makes you a healthier girl.
Okay.
Does your husband know that we're plotting against him right now to make you extra beautiful and extra radiant and
and healthy? He's listening, but...
Oh, I didn't realize that he was listening, so he already knows our plot to make you stronger and healthier, right?
Well, he's listening to you a lot, too, and we are trying to... Actually, we have a few clients. We just tell them about you because they have some health problems, and you actually end up with some of them. I know that they are contacted you, so...
Oh, well, that is very sweet of you. So, now, can your husband consume actual butter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he can. He can, and my daughter, too. So they're both pretty healthy in that area. They can have it. It's just me that I don't even need to look at it.
So even if you look at butter, well, what if it was Italian butter? Would that make a difference?
No, it would not.
How about Irish butter? Would that still be a problem?
Yes, sir.
Oh, rats. I tried.
Yeah, I know. I tried to. For some reason, it just does not agree with me.
Well, it's not going to be hard to put the ghee on anything that you eat. So if you smash up, you know, make cauliflower mashed potatoes, just put all the ghee you want on that and just see how it settles in your body. But if it works out really well, then I think we're in business.
I will certainly try that.
Do you know how many people are cringing right now at the idea of me recommending putting butter or ghee on vegetables? They're going, Dr. Morgan, that's fat. What are you doing? Fat is evil.
No, it's good fat.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks. Well, thank you so much for your phone call today. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You'll have a good day and tell your husband I said hello.
I sure will. Thank
you.
Oh,
I just did. He's listening.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. I figured he was out back, you know, trying to fit a horseshoe on the prize-winning stallion. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. This program is Health Essentials. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
What did you think about my award-winning slogan, "I cannot believe it's not butter"? Do you think that has potential?
I think you're going to just have the big cure and be the biggest billionaire.
That's right, billionaire with a B. Anyway, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. My question goes back to the matter of frequent urination at night, and how do you think that all ties into sleep apnea?
Well, let's put it this way. Now, what I'm going to say is probably going to sound a little bit ridiculous, but I just want you to hear me out, okay?
Sure.
If you take a baby, just a beautiful, perfect, healthy baby with no issues, they're just gorgeous. The little girl nurses, mommy takes her over to the crib, and she, you know, after she burps her and changes the diaper and lays that baby down, the baby's eyes are probably already closed, and so the moment they close their eyes, they're probably going into what's called light sleep. But the longer the baby lays in that crib, you know, all, you know, cuddled up in the blanket, you know, perfect, they go from light to medium sleep all the way down to what's called deep sleep, and that's the deep delta wave sleep. And 2 hours later, a thunderstorm comes over the house, you know, crashing. That baby never budges because that baby's still down in the deep sleep. Could you imagine in a fantasy world what would happen if we could sleep like a baby? We go from light to medium deep sleep, and that takes about an hour. But we just stay in that deep sleep for like 6 straight hours. And then we start to come back out of it, and we go to medium to light. And then we wake up, and we go, oh my goodness, I am so refreshed and restored and made brand new. Well, that's the crux of the matter that we're talking about. If you cannot get down to that deep... So, what I really am thinking of right now is the body is designed to heal on a miraculous fashion. If you could just get in that deep sleep and stay there, your brain would be the best it's ever been. Your heart and your oxygen and your arteries and your lungs, they'd be working perfectly. There would be no sleep apnea. It wouldn't exist. And so that's the goal here. What do we have to do to get a person to sleep super deeply? And at the same time, you know, I think I've told you that story in the past of men that got on the elliptical trainer. There was like 38 or 39 or 40 that started off. After 14 weeks, none of them even needed a CPAP because they greatly improved their athletic performance and their circulation and delivery of oxygen. And so if you can't sleep deeply, you're headed for a CPAP. You're headed for sleep apnea.
Okay.
So anything that interrupts deep sleep is bad. And if that's frequent urination, we've got to solve that mystery. And then we've got to work toward restoring that good, healthy sleep cycle.
Okay. Well... What I find interesting is that, of course, the frequency of sleep apnea in our general population
it's growing every day.
Oh, yes, it is.
Unfortunately, we're all out of time, so could I ask you to call next week and we'll pick it up where we left off, buddy?
I'll sure try.
Oh, hey, thank you much.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.